So how's everybody doing this morning? I was going to try to do a PowerPoint back there watching the kids. If anybody knows how to do it, you can go back there and help me. Because I got a lot of scripture today. This may be one of my longer messages, but... Alright, so... I just want to start out that... it was a tough weekend last weekend. Patriots lost. So. Well, all I gotta say is, those of you that were rooting against the Patriots, is how did your team do this year? Because unless you were Seattle or Denver, your team didn't make it further than the Patriots, so you ain't got nothing to say. That's all I gotta say on that. Alright, so, I mean, come on, really. Yeah, keep your mouth shut, right? Right, Mike?
That's right.
You know what I'm talking about. And also, I don't know if you watched the games last weekend, but the Seattle 49ers game was great, and I can't stand the 49ers. But anyhow, that's just me. But Seattle, after the game, this guy Richard Sherman, and he's awesome. I believe he's one of the greatest defensive backs in the league. And he made the play with, like, about a minute to go. He deflected this pass that won the game for them, that got him, you know, sealed the victory for him to help send them into the Super Bowl. And this guy Richard Sherman, he's a pretty hyped up, passionate guy. I don't know what that's like all about. But anyhow, that's what he's like, right? And but anyhow, so here it is. This guy just had like the best moment. He's like, yeah, I sent my team to the Super Bowl, and he's all getting in the other players' faces, and they interview him like a minute after the game. Now, if you've ever played sports before, and you're a pretty pumped up, excited person, right? You just, that passion just runs out, especially when your team's going to the Super Bowl, right? You guys hear me right here? Like, this is the ultimate thing that every single season when these football players start up, they're like, we want to go to the Super Bowl. We want to win a Super Bowl. Well, he just won it for their team, helped their team win it to send them into the Super Bowl. So this guy is like all pumped up. He's like passionate. He's excited. And then they go to interview him like a minute after this happens, right? Now, some reaction may be like, yeah, that was a great win. I'm just so excited. Now, come on. Step into reality here. You just won it. You just sent your team into the Super Bowl. So this guy's like going off on TV, right? And he just, I'm like, hey, whatever. I don't care. That's what I would be like. Honestly, that's what I would be like. That would be me. Just all excited, passionate. I just helped our team to the Super Bowl. Ah, I'm getting all crazy, pumped up, right? But anyhow, so here it is. This guy was up here, and then all of a sudden, in the days to follow, the media just came down on this guy and everything. And all I want to say is, listen, have any of you ever played sports before? Do you know what it's like to be enthusiastic? Do you know what it's like to be pumped up? He went back and he apologized about this and that. But it's just the type of guy he is, you know? So I like him that much more now. Just because I'm like, come on. It's like, you're living life, man. This is fun. He's just having a great time out there. But anyhow, a lot of people hate the guy now. But I'm like, come on. Why are we here judging how this guy reacts? You know, so some people may just be like, yeah, that was pretty awesome. Where's the fun? Where's the excitement in that? You know, but hey, anyhow. So here it is. You know, Richard Sherman was way up here, and then he's gotten brought down here. And hopefully he comes back up, right? And doesn't that what our life kind of feels like sometimes? Like, we're just like up here, something great happens, and all of a sudden we're down here. And then we're back up here, and then we're down here. And it's just like this big, huge roller coaster ride. And here we are, we're starting a new year. And it's like, gee, what's this year going to be like? Because last year, my whole year was just like down in the dumps the whole time. Or that's what it felt like. Because you know what happens a lot of times? When something goes bad, what do? We just dwell, and we dwell, and we dwell on the bad. We forget about all that good stuff that happened. We just focus on all that bad, right? Big roller coaster ride. Well, you know, sometimes it could be kind of like, I don't know where you're all at right now, but maybe you get a promotion, right? And right after that promotion, what happens? Oh, man, I didn't realize I got to work twice as hard now and twice as much. I just wanted that promotion. Hello, reality. Wake up. All right, or we get a raise in life, and right after we get that raise and we're getting more money work, what happens? Our car breaks down. Our furnace goes, gee, glad I'm making all this extra money because now I got to spend it all, right? You know, or we get a new job, and all of a sudden we walk into that new job, and we realize we hate every single person at that office we're working with. I'd rather go back to my old job, right? Come on, you know, so you've been there before. Or, yes, I'm getting married, or I got married, and all of a sudden it's like, wow, we used to have so much fun, and now we just fight all the time, right? What the heck's going on, right? Somebody's got to relate to one of these. Or you got kids, and your kids, this sauce is starting growing up. Next thing you know, they're getting arrested. They're in trouble all the time. And they give you all these headaches and gray hair, you know? Or then, oh, all of a sudden, here's the ultimate. The Red Sox win the World Series, right? So you're all pumped up. You're excited. I'm like, oh, man, the Patriots are doing good. Maybe the Patriots are going to win the Super Bowl. Boom. There's a win in my life. I'm last weekend. Oh, my goodness, right? Bet, come on. You know, there's things that happen. There's good things that happen in life. We find new friends in life. You know, we get really excited about church. Church is going great. We have a baby. But then maybe we get these, you know, and as the year goes on, all right, well, we run into health problems, you know, or maybe a family member has some health problems, or maybe we get laid off, right? You all hear me? You know, life's like this. It's up and down, up and down, up and down.
Yeah.
Stuff happens. As Pastor says all the time, stuff happens, right? Well, I want to introduce you to Psalm 118:24. And I think this is an awesome little scripture verse right here. And basically this is what it says. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. How many of you say that when your car breaks down? Oh, God made this day. I'm just going to be excited about this. You know, your car just broke down. You just got this huge fight with your spouse. I'm going to rejoice this day and be happy about it. Or I just got laid off from my job. I just got fired. You know? How many of you actually are, I just ran into this big health problem. How many of you sit here and say, God made this day. I'm going to rejoice and be happy about it. Well, this morning, I want to provoke you to have an attitude. And it's all about attitude today. Just like Richard Sherman had an attitude. Alright, I don't believe it was a bad one, but that's my own personal opinion. But to have an attitude of seeing life's events through God's perspective. And it's all about attitude. Again, having that attitude of seeing life's events, the stuff that happens in your life, that up and downs, but seeing it from God's perspective and not our own, right? Because we're always about our own attitude. So, if you could right now, go to Genesis 37. And we're going to camp out in Genesis like the rest of this afternoon. I'm going to try to wrap this up in like 30 minutes, but there's a lot of scripture here, so we'll see what happens. I'll just try to talk a little faster, if y'all don't mind. So, hang on to your seats. Get buckled in. Here we go. You got your running shoes on? So, we're going to take a look at here the story of Joseph. All right? And just a little back view of Joseph. First, there's Abraham, right? Who's going to be the father of all nations. So, Abraham came Isaac. From Isaac came Jacob. From Jacob came Joseph. These are like the people in the Bible. Everyone talks about Adam and Eve. Yeah, yeah, whatever. They made us, right? Eve ruined the whole thing for us, you know? Stinking females. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Come on. All right? But there's only two Bible stories about females, you know? No, I'm joking. I'm joking. I didn't realize Jane was here. I'm getting beat up afterwards. No, but, all right, so these, here it is. These are our fathers, right? And this was like the family line, and these were going to be the fathers of all nations, and these were the four people. These are like the ones that made the book of Genesis. They were about, we all remember about Noah, and again, Adam and Eve. But we kind of seem to forget a lot of times about these four and their impact of what we've had. And think about this family tree. Say, my family tree consists of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Man, that's pretty stinking awesome, right? Come on. I'd be pretty excited about that. But here we go. We're going to take a look at the life of Joseph and a little bit of his roller coaster ride that he had to go through. So we're going to start here in Genesis 37, verses 3 through 4. See, that's easier than that. So it says, Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. So one day, Jacob had a special gift made for Joseph, a beautiful robe. Now, I know you're all getting excited right now. Like, wow, I'm getting a robe. No, you're really not. You're like, are you kidding me? You're getting me a robe and this is exciting? Well, let me picture it to you this way. Back in the day, to get this beautiful robe was something of extreme high importance. This was like the ultimate gift, and it was all dressed, you know, up nice and everything, right? Well, back then, the equivalent, and I was trying to think of this as I'm putting this together, the equivalent of getting a robe back then is kind of like getting, you know, maybe like a North Face jacket or an iPod or something like that nowadays. It's like, oh, this is the coolest thing. If you got one of these, you're at the top of your game. You're right here. You're awesome. You're cool. That's what it's like to get a robe. So here it is. All of other Joseph's brothers, none of them got a robe. But Joseph got a robe. Here it is. One of the youngest ones of Jacob, and he gets the robe. So they don't like him very much, and they never really liked him. His brothers really hated him. Right? We can all relate to that. Maybe. All right, 37 verse 5. One night Joseph had a dream, and when he told his brothers about it, they hated him more than ever. Listen to this dream, he said. We were out in the field tying up bundles of grain. Suddenly, my bundle stood up in your bundles and all gathered around and bowed low before mine. Y'all know what it means? I have no clue what it means. I'm just reading it now because scripture is good to read, right? Okay, we'll get to it. And then verse 9, we're going to skip the verse 9. It says, so Joseph had another dream, and again he told his brothers about it. Listen, I have had another dream. He said, the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed low before me. Now, just to talk into this, and we're not going to actually go into the dream, this is what I want to talk about, and Joseph's been probably, he's probably been used in thousands of sermons on a Sunday morning about his visions, his dreams, and everything else. That's not the path we're going here this morning. Because what I want to talk about is Joseph received this vision, right? And I'm sure we've had dreams before or visions, however you want to, you know, talk about it. Or you see the future. You know what it's going to be like. You see what your life entails. This is what I believe God has for me. Well, this is what Joseph is saying, or what God's revealing to us through the scripture right here, is that Joseph has this vision of what his life's going to be all about. I had this dream. This is what God's telling me. This is what my life's going to be all about. Now, how many of you, when we were younger, like Trent, he's like, I'm going to be an excavator operator. I'm like, that's so awesome because I don't have to send you to college. I'm like, yeah. All right? You don't need stinking college. Let me tell you, it just costs a lot of money. You don't get anywhere. All right? So, to those of you that went to college, sorry. But you wasted your money. But so here it is, you know, he's got this vision. He knows where he wants to go in life, right? And we've been there before, maybe as kids, as adults, and we kind of see, this is the path that God has laid out for me. This is where he wants me to go, right? And you can see it ahead. So if that's where you're headed, that's where you're going, you're like, yeah, life's doing great because that's just what I want to do. I'm so happy, and all you're skipping and hopping, and I don't know what you're doing, right? So you're on the right track, and now you're making all the right decisions in line with this vision that you have. Where you're headed, you know where you're headed, life's good, I'm excited, I'm happy, you're up here, right? You're up here right now, you're on top of the world, woo, I'm doing good, right? Well, let's jump down to verse 23, all right? So here we go, verse 23. So when Joseph arrived, now here it is, just a little backstory right here. So as I said, all of his brothers wanted him dead, wanted Joseph dead, right? So here it is, they're all working out in the field one day, and, you know, they haven't returned, and Jacob's like, where the heck are all your brothers? What are they all doing? Joseph, he's like, I'll go out there. I'll go find him. I'll go find him. So he goes out there and goes to find him. Well, as his brothers see him coming, they're basically saying, listen, why don't we kill him right now? Why don't we just get rid of him, and then we'll receive everything he's received? Because we can't stand him. So the easiest way, if you can't stand something, what do? You eliminate it, right? So that's what they're going to do, is eliminate it, eliminate him. So verse 23 says, so when Joseph arrived, his brothers ripped off the beautiful robe he was wearing. I know that's what we say every single day when we go home. Oh, this beautiful robe. All right, then they grabbed him and threw him into the cistern. Because instead of killing him, they didn't want the blood on their hands. So they said, well, let's just throw him into this hole, and then we'll just say he got lost. So they didn't directly kill him. Now the cistern was empty, and there was no water in it. Then just as they were sitting down to eat, they looked up and saw a caravan of camels in the distance coming toward him. It was a group of Ishmaelite traders. Did I get that right? I hope so. If not, I will deal with it. Traders taking a load of gum, balm, and aromatic resin from Gilead down to Egypt. Gilead, woo, come on, everybody say, yeah. Shane and Maria say, yeah, Gilead, come on. Alright, so here it is, a little more here. Judah said to his brothers, what will we gain by killing our brother? His blood would just give us a guilty conscience. Instead of hurting him, let's sell him to those Ishmaelite traders. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood, and his brothers agree. So when the Ishmaelites, who were Midianite traders, came by, Joseph's brothers pulled him out of the cistern, sold him to them for 20 pieces of silver, and the traders took him to Egypt. So here it is. Joseph's living life with his family, loving everything, way up here, and also his brothers want to get rid of him. He gets traded into slavery and taken off to Egypt. Woo! Let's celebrate. Come on, right? Is that what Joseph's thinking right now? He had everything. Plus, on top of it, the worst part of this whole story, he lost his robe. Yeah, you guys don't realize that part, right? He lost his robe. So here it is. He was way up here, and all of a sudden, boom, there it is. Joseph goes right down there. Kind of feels like our year sometimes, right? Well, let me remind you of something here. Psalm 118:24 said what? The Lord made this day. Let's rejoice in it. You think Joseph's rejoicing right now? We don't know. The scripture doesn't say anything about him being discouraged. So we don't know what's going on. So here it is, and I'm sure we've all been there before in our lives. You know, we're up, we're doing good, whatever else, our jobs, whatever, it doesn't matter. Whatever it is, and you all relate to something in your life. When everything's good, and all of a sudden, you've gotten kicked down by somebody. Something's going good, and all of a sudden, something costs you money. House breaks down, car breaks down. You get laid off from a job, right? You're up here, and all of a sudden, you're down here. Right? How do we feel? How do we get to that point right there? We have health problems, right? So, people sold us out. We've done nothing to cause any of this, but all of a sudden, boom, the bottom just drops out, and we're like, man, what the heck just happened? What is going on right now, right? So how do we act? What is our attitude? Again, I wanted to provoke you today about your attitude. To think about God. His perspective on your life's events. Not your perspective. Not how you feel at this moment. But how does God feel? What is God's purpose in this whole moment right now? Do we still keep loving him? Well, let's jump to Genesis 39. I'm going to let you have a second to get there. It's only like a page away. And remember, Psalm 118:24. Today is the Lord's day. Let's rejoice in it. Psalm 39:2. The Lord was with Joseph. So here it is, and we go through like all this other stuff. But the Lord is still with Joseph. Why do you think the Lord was with Joseph? Because he cursed him? Because he got mad at him? Because he said, forget about it. My life just went bad. So he succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. See, he got sold to Potiphar. That's what happened. When he got brought to slavery in Egypt, he got sold to Potiphar. So here it is. All of a sudden, he becomes a slave in life. And what did he say? He succeeded by being a slave here, by being a servant. So here it is. He just went down all the way to the bottom over here. He's at the bottom. But what did he do? Joseph rejoiced. And he said, I'm going to do what I have to do right now. I'm still going to be that godly, righteous man that was laid out in front of me. I'm not going to change my attitude. He kept the attitude. And what was he doing? He succeeded. That's what he did. Because the Lord was still with him right here, it said. So he became, it's not a great job, right? And we have these neutral moments in our life, right? That just, it could be worse, but it's not that bad. And I'm just cruising along there. I'm just cruising around, right? You know, it could be with our jobs, with our family, whatever it is, that it's just that neutral. You know, it's not up, it's not down, but I'm just right there in the middle. So this is where kind of Joseph is. He's just lulling in the middle here right now. He's just going along, still staying true to what he is, not changing, again, his what? His attitude. Life's going, but the Lord was with Joseph. Remember, that's the key. So then we jump to verse 3. So here he is, he's going along, being a slave after being a hero, right? And Potiphar noticed that this, and realized that the Lord was with Joseph. Now, let me ask you this, let me just stop right there. How do you think Potiphar realized that the Lord was with Joseph? Because he was cursing, he was mad, he was all pissed off, right? Because he just got sold into slavery, got taken away from his family? No, how did Potiphar realize the Lord was with him? Attitude. It's all about attitude, right? It comes back to our attitude. He had that godly, righteous attitude. Does it directly say it there? No. But why else? How else did Potiphar know the Lord was with him? By his attitude, right? So he didn't get down. Here it is. I mean, I just showed you what he went through, but he did not get down on what he did. And this pleased Potiphar, and soon made Joseph his personal attendant. He put him in charge of his entire household and everything he owned. From the day Joseph was put in charge of his master's household and property, the Lord began to bless Potiphar's household for Joseph's sake. Wait a minute. So here it is. Joseph's being the righteous man. He's being the godly man. So he gets a little raise here, right? He got a raise. He got a little promotion right here. He now is in charge. He's head of the household over here. Still kind of like a slave and a servant. But what does it say? The Lord blessed who? Joseph? Or did he bless Potiphar? He blessed Potiphar. Right? Now, right here, you could have said, well, I would have had a bad attitude right there. Why is this guy getting the big raise? Why is he getting blessed? How come I'm not getting blessed? I'm the godly one here. I'm the righteous one here. But who's getting blessed right here? Right? All of his household affairs ran smoothly and his crops and livestock flourished. So Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibility over everything he owned. There it was. God's with Joseph. So it's starting to climb back up. It's starting to climb back up. And here it is. Who's the blessings going on? But again, we don't read about, we don't see about him getting discouraged, having a bad attitude. Again, the Lord made this day. The Lord made this day. Rejoice in it. Whatever comes along with it. So here it is. Life's going good. You know, keeps trusting God. Keeps faithful to God and everything, right? I mean, what could go wrong right now? Things are on the up and up, right? Here we go. Things are getting good. Right? Now, if you're single, this next part may be good, but if you're married, this ain't good. All right? Genesis 39, verse 7. So here we go. Things are well, right? And Potiphar's wife soon began to look at him lustfully. Come and sleep with me, she demanded, but Joseph refused. Look, he told her, my master trusts me with everything in his entire household. No one here has more authority than I do. He has held back nothing from me except you because you are his wife. How could I do such a wicked thing? It could be a great sin against God. Here it is. Everything's given to Potiphar. Now, if you're like, you're starting to get discouraged, like, oh, maybe I'm going to do this just to get back at him, right? He's going to, no, he keeps going along. He's thinking about number one, what? God. God is always first in his entire vision, his thoughts and everything. So she kept putting pressure on Joseph day after day, but he refused to sleep with her, and he kept out of her way as much as possible. One day, however, no one else was around when he went in to do his work. She came and grabbed him by the cloak, demanding, come on, sleep with me. Joseph tore himself away, but left the cloak in her hand as he ran from the house. It's like a movie scene right here, right? When she saw that she was holding his cloak and he had fled, she called out to his servant. Soon all the men came running. Look, she said, my husband has brought this Hebrew slave here to make fools of us. He came into my room to rape me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream, he ran outside to get away, but he left his cloak behind. She kept the cloak with her until her husband came home. Then she told him a story. That Hebrew slave you brought into our house tried to come and fool around with me, she said. But when I screamed, he ran outside, leaving his cloak with me. What did Joseph do wrong here? Nothing. He did everything he could to avoid all these bad situations, right? And how many times in life have we felt that we try to do everything we possibly can to avoid every single possible bad situation going on? We see something bad going, so we go around this way. We see these people are being bad, so we start hanging out with these people, right? We try to do everything we possibly can, but what happens? Boom, we still get kicked out and thrown down just like that. How do we start feeling right there? Are we going to get angry? Are we going to start getting mad at God maybe? What are we going to do in that type of situation? What do you think Joseph's going to do in that type of situation over here? We don't know. He's just scared right now, right? Because he ran away. Again, he did everything he was supposed to do. Why me? Why me? Why did this happen to me? Why does this always have to happen to me? I can almost absolutely assure you, you've all said that once or twice before in your life. Why me? Why me, God? Why is this going to happen to me? Why right now? Why does this have to happen? I've been doing everything right. Everything you told me to do, God, I did. So why does this happen to me right now? Yeah. Stuff happens, right? Yeah. Psalm 118:24. This is the Lord's day. Rejoice in it. You think he's rejoicing right now? Okay, let's read a little further. Let's see what it tells us. 39:21. Potiphar was furious when he heard his wife's story about how Joseph had treated her. So he took Joseph and threw him into a prison. Wow. Wow. Now it just got even worse, right? Here he was going, now he's thrown into prison. For doing what? For doing absolutely nothing wrong. But he got thrown into prison. I mean, life can't get much worse right now, right? But what do you think Joseph started doing? We don't read about Joseph asking why. We don't read about Joseph getting discouraged. We don't read about any of that. We're going to go on and we're going to see and we're going to remember one thing, our attitude. That says, this is the Lord's day. He has made it. I shall rejoice in this day. Yeah, because I know we're all jumping up right now and saying, wow, I'm excited. I did everything right. I ran away from her and I'm going to jail. How many of you would honestly rejoice in that right now? Keep trusting God. It's all about an attitude. Attitude, attitude, attitude. Genesis 39:22. Before long, the warden put Joseph in charge. Whoa, here we go again. So how do you think the warden put Joseph in charge? Was he being a bad guy? Was he being a thug? Was he being a bad person in jail? No. How do you think Joseph's attitude was?
Yeah, that's right.
Rejoice in this day because the Lord made it. The Lord made this day. The Lord put me here. I'm here. What am I going to do? Be discouraged about it? Because what happens when you dwell on your sufferings? Oh, man, why is this going to happen to me? You get more depressed. You suffer more. You suffer more. Why do I keep thinking about this over and over and over? But how often do we dwell on all those good things that happen, right? No, we just want to focus on all those lows. Through each year, I bet you we all think back. If I told you to think of three things that happened last year, two of the first three will probably be about the bad things that happened in your life. Right? That's how we tend to think. Why one? Because maybe that's what the media presses on us. Bad, 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 bad. But that's what we're trained. That's what we do here. That's what we do a lot of times. We dwell on the bad. Instead of dwelling on the good, we dwell on the bad. So here it is. He's put in a charge. Why is he put in a charge? Because he had an attitude. What kind of attitude? He had that godly, righteous attitude. Regardless of his circumstances in life, he said, I'm going to praise God. I'm going to worship God. God made this day. I'm alive this day. I'm going to worship in God. So I'm going to serve God's purpose. So that's what he did. He went to jail and he served God's purpose. Again, through the bad, through the downs in his life. Now, while he was in jail, we go to Genesis 40, verse 8. And as he's in jail, all of a sudden, there's this cupbearer and the chef baker that get thrown into jail too, because Pharaoh's just mad at these two people. He says, get the heck out of here and go to jail. So, while he's in jail, they have these dreams. They can't interpret the dreams. So Joseph says, well, and this is actually kind of cool over here. So Joseph says, I can't interpret dreams, but he says God can interpret the dreams, right? So he goes in. Right here, verse 8. So, and he replied, we both had dreams last night, but no one can tell us what they mean. So Joseph says, interpreting dreams is God's business. Again, he doesn't say this is something I can do. He puts all the glory to God. Now, how many times in your life, when you're down in those lows, after doing everything right, trying to be the best Christian you can, you're reading your Bible every day, everything's going good, everything you're supposed to do, everything pastor preaches about in church, you go home, you pray about, and you do. But all of a sudden, boom, your legs get swept out right underneath you, and you get punched in the teeth, and you get knocked down. How many of you can still say this? That's God's business. I can help you, but it's what God does. This ain't me. Puts all the glory right back to who? God. How many of us right now would be blaming God for the circumstances in our life? Why did you let this happen to me? Why? Joseph has never said why once. In all these words, in all the scriptures, this entire story, Joseph never once asked the question why. Kept keeping faith, kept trust in God this entire time. Attitude. It's all about attitude. So he interprets the dream, right? Now, takes the dream, and at the end of this dream, verse 40:14, and it says, "And please remember me and do me a favor when things go well for you." He was just saying, hey, just remember me. I helped you out with this, you know. You can help me out a little bit too, right? Mention me to Pharaoh so he might let me out of this place, right? Because he wants to get out. He doesn't want to stay there. He didn't belong there. But he said, don't forget about me. Let me out, right? So as the story goes on, verse 40:23, a lot of scriptures today. It's a story. Then seven more heads of grain. That's not the right one. That's verse 41. Here we go. Alright, so it says, Pharaoh's chief cupbearer, however, forgot all about Joseph, never giving him another thought. Did you see? The cupbearer went to Pharaoh, explained to him this or what happened. And this is, by the way, 2 years down the road. Alright, no, I'm sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself here. So here it is. He went, he comes out, explains all this, right? And, hold on. Am I getting ahead of myself here? No, but he says, so remember me. So, Genesis 40, yes, 23, what happened when he went to Pharaoh and he told him all about this, he never remembered. Because he went out and he had this big dinner. This big dinner was laid out, and it's what happened because of the dreams. They told their dreams to Pharaoh. All these dreams were all about, like, things that were going to happen. They had to go tell Pharaoh. The cupbearer, Pharaoh loved the cupbearer's dream. So he said, oh, wow, that's awesome, blah, 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 praise to you. And then the chief baker went in and told him his dream. And, you know, or actually it was part of his dream, I'm sorry, that was interpreted by Joseph. But he killed him. All right, so the chief baker, he gets killed. But what happened? Forgot all about Joseph. All right? The cupbearer forgot all about Joseph. Didn't remember. So here it is, Joseph's where still in jail. Right? Doesn't get anything about it, right? But yet, his attitude never changed. Never changed, right? Because the Lord made this day. And there it was. So here it is, we come 2 years later. Alright? We jump to Genesis 41, and 2 years later. You guys getting the story of Joseph's life? I mean, this thing is so up and down. Things are good, things are bad. Things are good, things are bad, man. Wow, sounds just like my life. So here we go, Genesis 41, verse 16. And it says, it is beyond my power to do this, Joseph replied, but God can tell you what it means and set you at ease. See, this is what happened. Is now all of a sudden, Pharaoh has this dream. Has a couple of dreams. And he doesn't understand the dream. So now Pharaoh needs some dreams interpreted, right? And it's 2 years later. 2 years later. So the chief or the cupbearer here says, hey, I remember this guy. He interpreted my dreams. This was a couple years ago. So all of a sudden he tells him about Joseph, tells Pharaoh about Joseph. So Pharaoh says, well, get this guy over here. I want to hear about it because nobody else could interpret his dreams. So 2 years later, he was left sitting in jail after he could have probably gotten out. And again, we talk about attitude, same story, same song and dance, right? The Lord made this day, so his attitude was happy. Pharaoh has his dream. So here it is, he comes to him. What's Joseph do? He gives the glory to God right here. He says, I can't do this, but God can do this, right? It's not me. And he wasn't bitter through this whole time, but God can do this. God can interpret this dream. He could have said, well, forget about it. The last time I interpreted a dream, I didn't get anything out of it. So why am I going to do it this time, right? I'm sure we've all felt there before. Hey, I tried helping this person out once, and I didn't get anything out of it, so you know what? Forget him. I ain't helping him again. No, he wasn't better. He said, I can do this. Actually, I can't do this. God can do this. The glory and the power to God. So we go to Genesis 41:37. And it says, Joseph's suggestions were well received by Pharaoh and his officials. So Pharaoh asked his officials, can we find anyone else like this man so obviously filled with the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has revealed the meaning of the dreams to you, clearly no one else is intelligent or as wise as you are. You will be in charge of my court and all my people will take orders from you. Only I sit on the throne with higher rank. So here it is. All of a sudden, Again, stuck, left in jail for 2 years, never bitter, not once, had that godly righteous attitude. Also, he interprets Pharaoh's dream. Pharaoh's so excited about it. I'm going to raise you to the highest throne in Egypt right now. I am the only man higher than you. Right? So here it is. You've been kicked out. Joseph's been kicked out so many times in his life already. How can you still be excited and want to do things? But yet he still does. Still gets excited. Gets up every single day saying, I love God and I'm going to worship God. Yeah. Boom, boom, boom. The ups and downs, right? Had that attitude. His attitude never changed. He kept saying, I'm going to rejoice in God.
Yeah.
Right? So here we go. We're almost done. Hold on to your seats. Here we go. So in Genesis 45, verse 3. So here it is. It's up and down, up and down, right? And remember his brothers. Remember him selling. Now think about it. If somebody did that to you in life, how are you going to feel? You going to feel revengeful? Oh, man, I can't wait to get them back. I know I felt like that a lot of times. You know, you look at sports and they say, oh, man, they beat us. I just can't wait to get them back. I know Crabtree's saying that about Sherman right now. Because Sherman told Crabtree he's the best. And that Crabtree's only mediocre. Goes Sherman. Woo, love that guy, right? But so here it is. So what do we think? There's no way. I want to get back at these people. I want to get back at these people. Let's go to Genesis 45, verse 3. And it says, I am Joseph, he said to his brothers. Wait a minute. To his brothers? He said this to his brothers? All right. Let me back up here 1 second. So what happened is his dreams were what? Anybody remember Joseph's dreams? And it was all about there's going to be 7 great years and things are just going to be great and we're going to be living great. All the food's going to be here. Everything that we need, life's just great right now, right? But then in 7 years, it's going to be absolute famine, right? And there's going to be nothing. Everything's going to be wiped out. Nobody has no food. So the whole point of Joseph's dreams was that, listen, we got to stockpile all the stuff we get right now for those 7 bad years that we have. We got to be ready for this, all right? And nobody else knew about this going on, so that's what they did. And then all of a sudden, so as the time goes on, all these people got to come to Pharaoh, right? Pharaoh's the big leader. Everybody's got to come to Pharaoh to get all their stuff. Well, out in Canaan, right, you got Jacob and you got all the brothers right there that years ago had sold Joseph into slavery. Well, they need food now. So what do? They go to Pharaoh. And who do they meet at Pharaoh? Who is Pharaoh's leader? Joseph. All right, but when they come to him, they don't realize it's Joseph. There's a whole interpreter talking to him. So they don't realize that it's Joseph right there. And they go back, and then Joseph takes him and says, you got to keep one of your brothers, sends him back, all this stuff back and forth, because he wants to see his brothers, he wants to see his family, but he has yet to reveal anything to him. So then we come up on Genesis 45:3, and it says, I am Joseph, he said to my brothers, is my father still alive? All right? He didn't take revenge on him. He actually gave him extra money. He gave him all their money back to take it back with him. He didn't have revenge on him. And it actually says in there, he went and he weeped after he saw them.
Yeah.
He was so excited that he just broke down because he had so much. He didn't have hatred.
Yeah.
These people wronged him. How many times have you been wronged in life and you turn around and you got hatred on that person?
Yeah.
Joseph didn't.
Joseph
got thrown down way down here, and he's up here right now, and never once does it talk about him ever having hatred or anger or bitterness or anything towards his brothers. Still love them the whole time. That godly righteous man, it's that attitude. Man, attitude's tough.
Yeah.
And it's something we got to work on.
Yeah.
Every one of us. So here it is, except for Joseph. He had a pretty good one. So here it is, 45:3, I am Joseph. They were all stunned to realize that Joseph was standing there in front of them. Please come closer, he said to them. So they came closer and he said again, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into slavery in Egypt. But don't be upset. Wait a minute. He's telling his brothers not to be upset?
Yeah.
Wait, who should be upset right here? Shouldn't Joseph be the one upset? But he's telling his brothers not to be upset. This kind of seems backwards. I think, who wrote this version? That's got to be wrong. Maybe somebody else's is right. I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold, but don't be upset and don't be angry with yourselves for selling me to this place. It was God. Who? It was God who sent me here ahead of you to preserve your lives.
Wow.
Man.
Wow.
What kind of attitude is that?
Yeah.
God sent me here. God sold me into slavery. God threw me into prison. God sent me here. How many of us would have an attitude like that after everything that's been happened to you to say,
yeah,
God sent me here. God did it.
Yeah.
This morning, I wanted to provoke you on an attitude of not your circumstances in life, but God's.
Yeah.
What is God's purpose for your life?
Wow.
How does God interpret? How does God perceive your life circumstances?
It's good.
God make them your circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be upset. It was God who sent me here ahead of you to preserve your lives. This famine that has ravaged the land for years and will last more. God has sent me ahead of you to keep you and your families alive, to preserve many survivors. To have an attitude like that, to go through everything he went through, but to say, God did all this. God sent me down to the lowest places. But never once did Joseph ever ask why. Why me? Why me, God? No. He kept believing. He kept believing. It was in God's plan. And this is what Joseph absolutely believed in himself. Genesis 50:19, and this is where we're going to close it out. Genesis 50:19 says, but Joseph replied, again, he's telling his brothers, now his entire family's here, they're all here, they're excited, they got all this food. Pharaoh said, oh, you guys can have all this, blah, 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 right? So here it is, and again, Joseph wanted to reassure them, wanted to make sure they were comfortable. The people that did him wrong, how many times do we go to the people that do us wrong and want to make sure they feel comfortable? Shouldn't they be kissing up to us and making us feel comfortable? No, Joseph didn't approach it that way. He said, that's not what God's got in store for me. That's not how God wants us, right? No, he says here, but Joseph replied, don't be afraid of me. Am I God that I can punish you? No, he doesn't want to punish them. He's not the one. He believes he's not here to set judgment. You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. We go back to the original, and I said having an attitude of seeing life's events from God's perspective. How is God looking at these life's events that are going through your life? How is God looking at all this bad that's happened in your life? To believe and trust that the bad that's in your life that God intended. Now, I'm not saying you go out and you do bad stuff. That God didn't intend for bad stuff to happen in you afterwards. Maybe he's going to punish you. Alright? But nowhere in this story do we ever read that Joseph did something to deserve anything that he did. But yet, if we look back at Joseph's story, he never deserved to get thrown into a cistern and thrown into slavery, but he did. He never asked to have somebody else to hit on him. No, he did everything he could to get away from the position, but he got thrown in jail for it. When he was in jail, he didn't ask to get forgotten about, but he got forgotten about for over 2 years. He didn't ask for any of this. He tried to do everything he was supposed to do, but yet he still had all this bad stuff happen. But not once did his attitude ever change. His attitude was all the way back to Psalm 118, verse 24. Says, the Lord made this day, I shall rejoice in it. Not today. Well, today's a bad day. I ain't going to rejoice in this day. No, today's a bad day, but Joseph said, I'm going to rejoice in it. He got sold into slavery, but I'm going to rejoice in it. Everything that happens, and is what I want to do, is what I want to challenge all you to do, is when you go through, when you start having a bad day, and when you got those lows in this year, as Pastor started talking about this year, when you go down in those lows this year, and you're having that bad day, think of Psalm 118:24, and think of Joseph in his life and say, the Lord made this day, I shall rejoice in it. I'm going to rejoice in what God's got me for this day. You know why? Because God wants to do a work in each one of us. God wants to do a work in other people. Now, God didn't have to do no work in Joseph. Joseph had it. Joseph was godly. Joseph was righteous. We don't read about anything here about him doing anything bad whatsoever. But Joseph wanted to do stuff for a nation. Joseph, God had a purpose for Joseph to do stuff for people, for his family, for the nation. Yeah, that's right. That's his purpose for him. Joseph said, I shall serve. My attitude, I will rejoice in all this bad stuff. And I will rejoice because the Lord made this day for me. Yeah. Joseph had 7 ups and 5 downs. Now think of your year. If you had 7 ups and 5 downs, what do you remember most? I bet you most of you can remember those downs, those bads that happened. As little as it was, you focus and you dwell more on those bads. I want to challenge you, forget about those bads. God made those bads. Unless you brought that upon yourself, then hey, you gotta fend for yourself on that one. But if you didn't cause those bads, if you did as you were supposed to do, and you're walking in God as God asks us to do and he demands us to do, and you get one of those bads, say, I'm going to rejoice in this day. I'm going to rejoice in this because God made this day. This was God's purpose for my life. This is what has to happen. Joseph didn't dwell on the downs. He didn't even dwell on the ups. He just said, I'm here to serve God. Don't focus on your downs. It'll just add to your suffering. See, we don't see the road ahead. Joseph thought he did. He had that vision. And what? Joseph's vision that he had in his life. What happened? Years later, after all this junk that happened to him, this stuff that happens, where did he end up? Exactly that vision that he saw. You see your visions in life, you see those purposes, and you're going to have roadblocks all over the place. You don't know what those roadblocks are, and most of them you are not going to cause as long as you're walking that narrow path that we are asked to walk. And if you walk that path, You will get to that end. God has a plan for it. We don't see the road, but God sees the road and every single bump along the way. God has a purpose in it. God is in control, and the key to us is staying in control and communicating with Him.
Yes.
Have an attitude to see circumstances from God's perspective.
Yes.
Junk happens. It's going to happen tomorrow. It may happen next week. It may happen next month. Mm-hmm. Junk is going to happen to your life this year. Mm-hmm. It's part of life. It's what happens. Mm-hmm. Remember, God's in control. God's got a purpose for it. And rejoice in that. Rejoice in that. Oh, I'm going to get excited when bad things happen. I'm not saying you're going to jump up and down. And nowhere here does it say Joseph jumped up and down and rejoiced in it. But he rejoiced in the day that God made. And he stayed true to who he was. In his work, in his home, with his family, with everything that he did. He stayed true to it. God intends the bad for good.
Yeah, he does. He does.
He didn't call upon it himself. Believe and trust in him as Joseph did. I just want to close out in prayer. God, as we see and we understand, we look at this life of Joseph and the ups and downs that he had. And if we could just remember through our ups and downs, through this coming year, Lord, that we have, that we won't dwell on the downs in life. But I ask that each person here, that we can dwell on the good things that are happening to us. And that when those bad things do happen, that we refer back to Psalm 118:24 and say, Lord, you made this day. I'm going to rejoice in it. Because I am here and you're still with me. Lord, I pray for each one of us to live lives as Joseph did. To not get discouraged, but to rejoice and to understand God's ultimate purpose in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.